and welcome to The Two Tones. Tony DeBolfo.
Greetings, Tony.
Tony Moclair. Two grey-haired men with glasses dissecting the games of the Carlton Football Club. It is episode 15. Tone, club historian.
Yes, you're only as old as you feel, Tony. I thought qualify that episode very 15. Poor statement.
I give you...
Yes?
Tony... Vera Lynn.
Oh, Vera Lynn. Now, number 15, Vera Lynn. If I look down my list, yes. Exceptional call, Tony. 27 games for the club, 1994 to 96.
Yep.
Was he a Queenslander? I'm trying to remember now. I think he came from the sunny climes of QLD, if memory serves. I might have that wrong.
Journeyman footballer,
I think you'd call him. Sam Doherty, of course, is the current wearer of the Goonies. Is he wearing it with distinction?
Yeah.
And I might say Val Perovic, the great Vladimir Perovic, 97 games for Carlton, two premierships, of course, 81-82, the back-to-back years under David Parkin's realm. The first footballer I ever interviewed as a cadet journalist, Tony.
I want to hear this.
No, it was all above board. The best thing about Pera was that he gave me time. He was very patient. I was pretty green, as you can imagine, and nervous, and yet he was very, very kind to me, and I think it's probably why I have a great friendship with Val after all these years. But I've always said with Val Perovic, you know that question people are asked, you know, if you were to invite five people to a dinner party, who would it be? And sometimes people say, oh, well, if you were still around, Martin Luther King.
Yeah,
well, Val was one I'd always volunteer because he was a man of the world, a journeyman. I mean, he forever goes north fishing. You know, he goes overseas. He goes back to Croatia, which, of course, is where he was born, or Yugoslavia, I should correct myself there, to where he was born, and just a man of the world and a man of great knowledge of life, I suppose you would say, Tony. Terrific journeyman and a most interesting character.
He was a big unit too, wasn't he?
He was indeed. I mean, he played at St Kilda as a wingman, believe it or not.
Okay.
He was an exceptionally tall player at the time, but, you know, found his niche across half-back. And, like, when you're in a, you know, you're playing alongside the likes of Duell and Hunter, well, you're halfway there, aren't you? But he was a great player for the Carlton Football Club. Had a fight with Lindsay Fox, wouldn't relocate from home in Ballarat to train at Moorabbin despite the president's protestations.
Yeah.
And Carlton took full advantage and made him an offer which suited the player's best interests, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Well done, Carlton.
Well done, Carlton.
Well done then.
Yes. I'll tell you another story about Val too before I'm digressing here, Tony. But he used to park his, I think he had one of those Sandmen, you know, those old.
Oh, lovely car, yeah.
And he used to park it at the front of the entrance of the old football club here facing Royal Parade. And of course, in those days, the boys, they played hard and they partied hard. Mm. And Val used to, on a Saturday, he'd leave all his gear, he'd change, go out on a Saturday night, leave all his gear in the car, get back at about, you know, 7:30 in the morning. Of course, there was a Sunday morning training session at 8 o'clock. He'd have 15 minutes kip in the back of the Sandman, and Mark McClure would rock up at 1:45 and ready for training, Val. And he was never late.
Probably a few BOGs after that as well.
Very true.
That wouldn't surprise me. Tone, Sunday's game was a disappointment. The Tigers got up. Would that they didn't. It's been a long time since we beat them. They prevailed in a scrappy, unpleasant-to-watch encounter.
It was. It was indeed. It was lackluster to me. And it seemed, Tony, to me that the boys weren't there.
No, they weren't. They hadn't kind of clocked on.
No, they hadn't. And, you know, as we've seen with the evenness of this competition this year, that if you're not quite there, you're fair game for the opposition. And the incredible thing about it all, Tony, was that as... disappointing as Carlton was, they were in the game late. Mm. And that was because of the fact that Richmond just, for whatever reason, wasn't able to put Carlton away. I mean, I think Richmond had a 2-goal-7 second quarter that, by rights, probably should have put the result beyond doubt.
Carlton kicked a point in the second quarter.
They did.
So there you go.
But incredibly early in the final quarter, if you remember, you know, Bryce had that difficult shot from the boundary.
Yeah, which he could have got.
And then there was that pass in, the magnificent pass to Pickett,
Which was about 2 feet too high.
He didn't catch. So you look back on it and you say, well, there were still moments, you know, where, but on the day, it seemed to me that Carlton just hadn't come to play. And speaking to one of the defenders after the game, Caleb Marchbank, he did make issue of the fact, and I'm sure this was picked up by the coach, that the tackles just weren't sticking, you know, and you know, perhaps the tackles weren't sticking because the mindset wasn't there to ensure that the tackles stick. Yeah. So I think the work rate was by and large down, and it was also reflected in the reserves where Carlton or the Northern Blues were on the end of an 84-point belting. Ooh. And I read with interest Josh Fraser, the coach's comments afterwards, that the same intensity was for whatever reason lacking, which was quite... It was a disappointing weekend for the club in total, to be truthful.
Indeed, and Jed Lamb had a forgettable game, well, quite literally, figuratively as well. Bashahuli, he was on the wrong end of a... I don't know, maybe... not an errant fist. It seemed quite deliberate, but out of character, you've got to say, for him.
Well, you know, the amazing thing about that incident, and you know, Bashahuli, you have to say, he has got an impeccable record. Yeah. I mean, he's never, you know, troubled the scorer, so to speak, at tribunal level. And yet, it seemed that he did look around, you know, and he had some fair degree of knowledge that Lamb was on his hammer. But I don't know that Jed Lamb had done a hell of a lot wrong.
No, it was
or
it's
nothing untoward.
Yeah,
and yet he was out before he hit the deck. So that no doubt unbalanced the team. I'm sure losing a player that early in the game, it would have made it difficult for Carlton. And yet, if you look at the Geelong Fremantle game, Geelong lost Selwood pretty early in the piece and still found a way. So it can be done, even if the personnel isn't there in numbers. So very disappointing.
Well, just from a team point of view, should the team not have been in Bashahuli's face for the rest of the day, kind of letting him know? You know, I've seen that before. That you know, it's the one in all in kind of thing. That you touch one, touch all.
And look, I think there have been instances through the course of the year where the players have gone in to support a mate, whether it's Murphy or whoever it might be. But to tell you the truth, in that incident, I don't think anyone really knew what had happened.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I can remember following the game and looking back and just seeing a player, wasn't sure exactly who it was at the time, you know, prostrate on the deck, and not really sure why it actually worked. But or what actually happened? Sorry, Tony, I was momentarily distracted. There.
Momentarily distracted. But by I'm not senior sure. List walking past our recording facility.
Here. Yes, and so was our producer Grace. But I don't know what I don't know at the time. I don't know exactly what had happened.
Right.
And I suspect that there weren't too many players that did. Actually, just seeing Jack walk past, I think Jack went across at the time, and there was one other player, might have been Matty Wright, that was in Hooley's face.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, maybe in retrospect there could have been a little bit more said or
but
done.
It just, I guess, you know, it's a small part of that larger part of, I guess, a lack of pressure.
Yes.
The pressure kind of seemed absent.
I will say, Tony, Hooley, to his credit, did get on the front foot to apologise as quickly as he could to Jed Lamb. I think he put in a call to Jed Lamb after the game, which wasn't the case, I think, in the Melbourne game when we lost Sam Rowe and Cripps. So I think... You know, to his credit, Hooley realised pretty early in the piece that he'd caused a fairly, you know, nasty outcome with what he'd done. So, but obviously, as we speak, that whole instance have its sequel at the tribunal. So we wait and watch with interest.
Indeed, and like we say, out of character for that bloke. Now we got to say a couple of moments that were. Just a pure perfection. Cripps's mark, I just want to point out right off the bat. That he was staggering. He was just...
Over Jack Greifold, of all people. And you know, great point you make, Tony, because I had the opportunity to speak to the Cripper after the game, and I forgot to
broach that with him.
Can you believe it? Perhaps I was so crestfallen with the result, Tony. Yeah. But that was a magnificent mark. And I think what probably you take from something like that is that Cripps seems to have regained his mojo physically. You know, he had an injury-interrupted pre-season, and he was, for a long time in the first half of the year, I think he was playing under great sufferance. Mm. You know, we don't know for sure what sort of physical ailments players take in, But he obviously was really labouring, you know, and yet to me he seems to be, again, you know, the classic contested possession gathering beast, and he's going forward, he's taking marks and kicking goals. So I think what we're seeing, Tony, is Cripps regain that form that, I mean, set him apart so early in his career, and Carlton's the beneficiary for that for sure.
And not only that, the spectators, because that was... There was a couple of great grabs.
It was a great grab.
There's a lot of, how do I put this? I'm going to put this delicately. There were a lot of interesting umpiring decisions on the day with rules applied, it seemed, somewhat randomly.
Yes.
Thankfully, the crowd was there to give instant feedback on that.
I think the annoying one, you know, the deliberate out of bounds, I think that was one that comes to mind too.
The Jack Silvani one.
Yeah, well, it was red hot.
Rance.
I mean, it was, oh, that, well, yes, yeah. And what Rance has been picked up, I think, for his animated reactions, shall we say, at the moment. Some of the observers were alluding to that, I think, on one of the programs I watched early in the week. So, yeah, there were some mystifying decisions, but, you know, at the end of the day, it really didn't make much difference, did it, to the overall result, I don't think.
Well, I'm just trying to concentrate on the positives here. If you're down in the mouth about Carlton having lost and you're thinking, do I go and see the Adelaide game next week? Yes, you do. And do you know why? Because there is a fairy tale unfolding at the Carlton Football Club, and that fairy tale's name is Liam Jones.
Well, it's a great story, isn't it, Tony? You've got to say. You know, and look, at 26, it's almost as if Carlton's inherited a new recruit to me. I know he's been on the scene for a little while now, but my God, where's this form been? You know, the way... But there you go. You know, what an inspired decision to push him back, to let him, you know, back his judgment and attack the ball as it comes in. I think Carlton is just... I mean, the defence has been the success story of the year, but, you know, this the way Liam is going about his business, and I know it's early in the piece, but he's just he's a different player, isn't he, it seems. And readers of the website might have seen the little interview with Liam where he mentioned how, when told by Josh Fraser he was going back, he actually thought of it as a demotion. It meant that he failed as a defender, as a forward, whereas no, the opposite was the case. They wanted him to be a more versatile player, play back and pitch at the ruck. And we and speaking of admirable defenders.
As I live and breathe, well, this is a reunion of sorts.
This one?
Are we on? Yeah, yes, we're on.
I've got 2 minutes, so make it quick.
You were never meant to discover us together.
This is the background. Yeah.
We've got Michael Jemison. We've got two minutes.
So
2 minutes. Are you a busy man these days?
I'm upstairs in the boardroom. I'm working with a group that's hoping to get involved with the club, but I'm upstairs in the boardroom with some very important people. So,
you're prepared to slum it down here with the likes of us?
Just for 1 minute. Now you're up
to.
So you, yeah, well, you've taken a minute up asking silly questions. So hurry up.
Can we take it, Michael, that being in the boardroom, that this is a forerunner to...
I'm not doing Chris Judd. No.
How's life, Gemmo? I did see in the rooms early in the year after one of the losses at the G, and you were saying to me at the time that you're really enjoying just going along and watching the boys go around. Not a lot of players would necessarily do that, but you're...
No, and I didn't think I would as much as I am. I've turned into a real fanboy. I had to go for a walk in the... Was it the GWS or Gold Coast game at three-quarter time? Mm-hmm. So I was so nervous. I actually went for a walk down the street and put Enya on just to calm down. Yeah.
Did you really?
But then Jack kicked that goal and I was happy.
Yeah.
And you are tweeting. You can find Jammo, of course, on Twitter and all the social media. He's across all platforms.
Yes.
He's amazing. How's the body post-football? How do you feel?
It's sort of hard to judge because I'm not doing a lot with it. Mm. I'm playing basketball a couple of nights a week and... Mm. I'm sure the skinnies have gone up a little bit, but so they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what are you doing with yourself now?
I'm just working at a funds management group.
Yeah.
One of the great things about the Carlton Football Club is that my boss is my player sponsor for 5 years, so you meet great people, and that's why I'm here today, and I'm lucky enough.
And as a student of the game as you are, Mick, you must be enjoying the fortunes of the team, the progression of the team, particularly the
the defensive team within the
yeah.
team.
Yeah.
What have your observations been of that core of players?
No, I love it. Very excited. Wish I was 10 years younger and playing with those boys because they look like a great bunch and great people as well. 15 seconds, last question.
Right. Okay. How's the podcasting? Remember, you were doing another podcast. It was with Zach Toohey, wasn't it?
It was. And we're highly rated highly above the two tones.
It did, really. Yeah, so highly that half of the team got traded to Geelong.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, what do you think you two might have been behind that, maybe?
It was a bloodless coup, yeah. Gemma.
I've got to go. Lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you. The great number 40, Michael Jamieson. Never ceased to race. See, we get them all.
We sure do.
We do.
How lovely. Wonderful.
He's looking well, is he?
Oh, he's a great man. Well. I do love Michael.
A great
Jamieson.
Servant of the Carlton Football Club. Yep. And lovely that he's still, you know, he's a groupie these yeah. days, which is magnificent. As I said, I've seen him at a couple of the games on the concourse, you know, and it's great to see him around and all the past players getting back to the club, yep. which means the club is, you know, is connecting again, and it's lovely to see.
And also, you know, a tinge of envy there, much better than a tinge of relief that he's not playing in the back line.
Well, you know, for him to say, you know, he wish he was 10 years again, he's probably not on his pet below there. But but you obviously, you know, can read between the lines that he's loving what he's seeing in this group, and he can see the progression. And that augurs well for the team. I think it's fantastic.
Now, Tone, we're going to draw a line under our post-mortem of the Richmond game.
Yes.
Just by the way, what was the crowd there?
I think I was heading down the room. So was it mid-60s? I think the crowd at the game, I reckon it was around 65. It was
loud.
A pretty good audience.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. It was raucous and it was wild. I suspect Richmond probably had the numbers,
yes.
being the home team.
Yeah.
But you know, talking about crowds, I think it was an observation of Patrick Cripps himself after the game. The thrill of playing in front of that body of people.
Mm.
You know, and I suppose having been privy to some of the great Carlton teams, we were all used to rubbing shoulders with the masses, you know, that the Carlton games, you know, just automatically attracted 70,000 people plus to the G. Hasn't always been the case in recent years. Mm. So Cripps alluded to the big numbers at the MCG afterwards, you know, the experience of playing before 65,000 people and how we look forward to becoming more of a regularity that the Carlton team would play in front of big numbers. And so I think, you know, that augurs well for the development of the team also. And if the progression continues, well, obviously the numbers are going to come back. And,
yeah.
And we're going to be seeing Carlton run out and more finals-type games through the course of a home and away season than we have probably in you know, the better part of the past decade or plenty. So, all good.
It really does lift, you know. If there is a big crowd there, it's exciting. It just adds a dimension to it that, you're right, Tone, has been absent from Carlton games in the last decade and a half or so. Now, Tone, your job is, there were, despite the result, and despite some players turning in some performances that they would probably rather forget, there were some standouts for the Blues against Richmond.
Well, there were, Tony. And I must say, great minds think alike, because Grace has listed the best players here for Carlton, and I can't not agree with her 3-2-1. So my first vote went to Sam Doherty. Nice. What a great season he is having. The Springbok board off half back with Simo on the other flank. Great player for the Carlton Football Club. Love his desperation.
Yeah.
Two votes to the man we've just spoken of, Patrick Cripps. He's certainly getting back to that that form we know he can display, and what a great player he is and will be for the Carlton Football Club. And three to a man who's in career best form, without doubt. He's got to be thereabouts as a prospective All-Australian ruckman. I talk of Matthew Cruiser.
Oh.
A superb game for the football club. It was nice to see him getting into Cochin's ribs too. The number one and number two draftees of that respective year.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a healthy respect there. But I think he's been tremendous for the Carlton Football Club this year. Just his capacity to push himself onto the next contest and to do it for four quarters is a great measure of the man's work ethic.
His fitness, can I just make a point that's probably, like most of my observations, completely uninformed. He stole a ball and kicked a goal. I think it was in about the first quarter. It was a great bit of intercept.
Yes.
He ran back to the boundary line. He was ready to go and contest the ball up. Was not heaving.
Like, no.
What's his fitness?
No, I mean, that's it. And I mean, at the end of the day, you know, there's a reason, you know, that you equate with the good form. It's got to be the fact that he's injury-free.
Yeah.
And that hasn't always been the case for Matt Cruiser. We've never really seen the best of him until now because injury or whatever it is has always held him back. And how he must be enjoying his football now that he, you know, with that freedom to do what he knows he's capable of because his body's allowing him to do it. And, you know, let's just hope that he stays fit and that he can continue on with this because Ruckman, as we know, Tony, are late developers.
Yeah.
So, you know, as great as this has been, you know, it's reasonable, I think, to assume that the best is yet ahead for Matt Cruiser and that whets the appetite of any Carlton supporter, I'm sure.
It really does. He's a much beloved player.
He is.
If I speak personally, I just think he's awesome.
He is indeed.
Heart and soul kind of player. Now, we should preview next week's game, Saturday 1st of July, 2:10, Carlton versus Adelaide at the MCG. You would notice I pronounce Carlton first, which means it's a home game for the Baggers. Adelaide don't play many home games at the MCG, surprisingly. Now, there will be a record, Cade Simpson.
Wow, the evergreen Cade Simpson, Tony, it's quite extraordinary. Yes, you're quite right. He's due to play his 278th league game this week, which brings him level with the Adonis, Evdy Koutafidis, in sixth spot for most games in club history. You might want to rattle off the names ahead of him, Tony.
Well, off the top of my head, they might be Craig Bradley, 375 games. He's the record holder. Bruce Duell, 356. Not from his own mouth, though, I'll tell you that much. John Nichols, Big Nick, 328. Soss, 312. Harry Madden, 287. Kuda, as you said, 278. Simo, 277. The great Jeff Southby, 268. David Mackay, 263. And Jezza, 256.
Well, when you look at those names, you know, and the company that Simo is now keeping, you know, it catapults him into the elite of the football club. You know, these are the greatest names that have ever donned a dark navy blue Guernsey, and Simo's well amongst them. How far can he get, Tony? Oh, look, he's had a great year. So
he's got another year at least.
Oh, yes. And so that will get him beyond the 300-game mark.
Yeah.
And then within reach of Soss. So will Soss be getting his two bombs worth in at selection? I think not.
He might give him the tap at game 311 and say, I think you're cooked, mate.
Yes. But no, look. All power to Cade. You know, pound for pound, I don't think there's a more courageous player. You know, we hear of Dangerfield acknowledging Selwood as perhaps the most courageous player he's ever seen play. But if you look at, you know, at Simo and the stature of the man, how has he been able to, you know, well, not just play 277 great games, but to survive over so many years in this most brutal competition. It's an absolute credit to him. He's such an inspirational player. The players love him, the supporters love him, and may there be many, many, many more games for the Carlton Football Club for the great number six.
Amen to that. Now, he's a Gembrooke boy, isn't he?
Emerald, okay. If memory serves, Yarra Valley League. So maybe it's the Mountaineer up there,
yeah,
Tony, whatever
be.
It is. But my word, he's been a great servant for the Carlton Football Club. And wouldn't it be magnificent to see him on the podium that last Saturday in September?
Oh,
you know, if ever a man deserved it, and I mean, football owes you nothing, I guess, at this level, but it would be such a fitting reward for a great servant of the football club. That's
I'm
for
into
sure.
That. Nobody would begrudge that. Nobody at all. Now, Carlton v Adelaide, Tone, just quickly. It's going to be tough.
It is.
There's no doubt about it. But I imagine there's a lot of studying of the Hawthorn game.
Yes. And how Hawthorn seemed to pick Adelaide apart. And again, we talked about earlier about teams being slightly off edge. Mm-hmm. You know, Adelaide sort of has in recent weeks, you know, struggled a little bit to bring its A grade game to the table. It is a long year, and there are peaks and troughs.
And Eddie didn't do much last week.
No, he hasn't. You know, but I always, you know, it's the Murphy's Law fear, isn't it? Yeah, you know, you know, and maybe he is due. But I know that, you know, Carlton too need to really hit back hard for a pretty poor showing against Richmond. So I'd imagine that both teams are really going to be up for this, and this will be a fair old contest on the MCG. Traditional Saturday 2:10 start, Tony. We hope that the Blue fraternity turns out in force. We really need members of the game. I think the coaching group and the players are doing their bit. We need the army of members and supporters to follow suit and get behind the Baggers, because it might be the difference between a win and a loss at the weekend.
Damn right. You don't know what sort of Cripps or Jones magic you're likely to see.
Well, you don't.
And you want to be there seeing it in person.
That's true. And it should be pointed out that, you know, maybe David Cunningham and Zach Fisher, who were late withdrawals, I suppose, from the team, might be right to go again. We did miss them.
Jed Lamb?
Jed Lamb will be a wait and see. It was a massive knock.
Yeah.
So I guess his condition will be monitored through the course of the week. We won't know until probably they run out Saturday. But let's hope for his sake that he can play. Well, at least hope that he's right, you know, that he's over that pretty nasty knock to the head.
Indeed. All right, thanks, Tony DeBolfo. Tony Moakley signing off here for the Two Tones. Remember that game.
Thank you, Jamo.
And thank you, Michael Jamison, too. Saturday, July the 1st, 2:10 at the MCG. Go Blues. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you, Lodge.